Hi there, ladies. My name is Sue Mills, and I am very excited to be able to share with you on Mark chapter 6. Hasn't it been incredible? This journey exploring the life of Christ is seen through the eyes of Mark, and reading the words that he prints out for us, it's amazing. Now, as we studied last week, Jesus bringing back the life of Jairus's daughter. Amazing story. Can you imagine the atmosphere of being there and the crowds and the marveling of it? And then, as we open in chapter 6, Jesus goes to Nazareth, his hometown, where he's not received. No one believed him. His family came to get him, saying he was crazy. What a roller coaster of a ministry this was. And the disciples watched all of it and watched Jesus handle every situation. Okay, so now, chapter 6, verse 7, we see Jesus, and he is calling his disciples together and telling them that he is sending them out two by two to proclaim that they should repent, turn away from their sins, and follow Christ. And they were to cover villages and towns. Now, they would have covered more ground doing this. Instead of it just being Jesus and the 12, they could cover more territory going out two by two. Now, they were told by Jesus to basically take nothing but a walking stick, the shoes on their feet, and the clothes on their back. And Jesus told them to stay in one house that was offered them. Don't jump around from house to house. Be grateful. Be great, gracious guests. And he says, guys, go out and tell the people to repent of their sins and turn to God. Oh, it's a simple message, isn't it? Yet, taking everybody to a crossroads, a decision, when we heard the gospel, when anybody does and says, you need to stop what you're doing and turn to Christ, you're in kind of a valley of decision, aren't you? The Spirit is always calling us to choose life, and yet some refuse. There are so many things in this passage to pick apart, but what stirred my heart as I studied and I chewed on this chapter? It's simple. It's encouraging, and yet it's so powerful. You see, these 12 disciples were ordinary guys. Some were fishermen. There was a tax collector. Nobody liked tax collectors. And the other occupations were not sure, but they were ordinary guys. But when Jesus called them, they left everything to follow him. And they had a front row seat watching, listening, learning, experiencing everything firsthand from the Master. And over with each miracle, Jesus was revealing who he was. So amazing. What had these men witnessed during their time with Jesus? Well, in the closing chapter of the book of John, it said the world couldn't contain the books of all the things that Jesus did. But some of them are people that were demon-possessed. They were set free, changing water into wine, countless healings. People were being brought back to life. Jesus rebuking the storm and it calmed. Even nature was under his command. Can you imagine that? And then they listened to his teachings, proclaiming himself as the long-awaited Messiah. They watched as Jesus confronted the religious leaders over and over. And I just love that about Jesus. He did everything to bug them and to go against their closely followed laws. He said, you search the scriptures looking for eternal life. And he said, they are speaking about me. He healed on the Sabbath. Big no-no. Made them mad. They wanted to kill him. He touched a leper and healed. Again, not allowed. He touched dead bodies. Remember Jairus' daughter? He took her by the hand. Everything just drove them crazy. And instead of these religious leaders looking back and going, this must be the Messiah, they went out and plotted his death. Their hearts were so hardened. Men received their sight. The lame walked. And these 12 ordinary men watched it all, not understanding at the time what Jesus said or what he did completely. They didn't get it, but they couldn't deny his power. They couldn't deny that he was who he said he was. These disciples watched these things on a daily basis. Jesus took them from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Listen to this quote. I think we can all relate to it as we put ourselves in this spot. It says, Jesus's faithful disciples were ordinary men who became extraordinary because of Jesus Christ. Despite their confusion and lack of understanding during his lifetime, they became powerful witnesses to his resurrection. Their lives were transformed by the power of God. Now, here is the part that just rocks my world about that. Can you resonate? I'm ordinary, but I've seen extraordinary things. And I've been able to be a part of extraordinary things. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Have I had confusion? Have I not understood everything? Not understood his timing on things or the way he did it or the way he didn't answer prayer? No. But I have been an eyewitness of seeing the power of the resurrection Christ in my life. Jeremy Camp sings that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Can you imagine that? We have the privilege to listen to Jesus' words, to see him working today, and to be transformed like his disciples. Us, ordinary people, can do extraordinary things. No, we haven't walked those dusty roads with him. No, we haven't been in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee with him, seeing him calm the storms. Or have we? Has he calmed the storm of your life? Have we seen miracles starting off with our salvation, our transformed life? Have we seen miracles and healings prayed for, marriages restored, set free from addictions, prodigals returned? Have we walked the dusty road of loneliness? Oh yeah, sorrow, fear, sickness, and yet knowing the Lord is walking every step of the way with us? That same Spirit that came upon the Old Testament prophets and men of old, where they were empowered to be used by the Lord. That same Spirit that indwelt those people in the upper room, the apostles at Pentecost. This marvelous outpouring of the Holy Spirit to empower them for service. That same Spirit lives in us. Doesn't that just amaze you? It amazes me. And it's hard to wrap my mind around, but it's true. When we begin to follow Jesus, listening to his words, being around other believers, our lives are being transformed as we are studying together the book of Mark, sitting in circles, sharpening each other, pointing to scriptures, praying for each other. We're being transformed completely, and we are changed by the power of God. Is that a miracle? You bet it's a miracle. Now in verse 12 of chapter 6, it says, "So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God." Simple message, few words in it, but it's not easily received. We don't like to hear that we need to change, do we? Before we came to belief in Christ, we didn't want to hear we were a sinner. We didn't want to hear that our lives were empty. We didn't want to hear there was a hell. But then we come to a point, and there is something so freeing and so liberating about giving our sin to Christ, isn't there? And there is something where we get set free and we make that transition. Is it always easy? No, but it's a prayer away. And if we're willing to let that go. Were these disciples nervous about really stepping out with nothing? No money, no food, no blanket, no pillow, don't know where they're staying. Were they scared? Were they excited? Wow, this is it. For the last few years, they've been watching Jesus do all the heavy lifting and healing and being and having compassion on the people around him. And now they're sent out with that same authority. I bet all the emotions were in play as they went town to town. And it tells us in verse 13, "And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with oil." Wow, that's heavy stuff where they went out to do, these ordinary men, doing extraordinary things. Well, these disciples came back, and I believe they were over the top. They were excited, telling Jesus all about their ministry tour. Can you imagine the stories they wanted to tell him? It's so exciting every time we go to a Harvest Crusade and see the people walk forward, or every Sunday when Pastor Greg gives the altar call and people are weeping and going. There is no greater joy than to see somebody surrender their life, see a life change, see people set free from all the things that held them. Jesus said he came to set the captives free. There is no greater joy, is there? I believe these disciples were changed when they came back from their mission, and they took all they had seen and all they had heard day after day, and they were given this authority. And here we are. No, we don't take much with us. We don't walk around with our concordance and our commentaries and just try to minister to somebody. We have it in our hearts. Oh, we can take our Bible, absolutely. But what are we telling people when we go? We tell them about our changed life. We tell them that we were set free. That's the huge and the most biggest powerful testimony that we have. And you know, we can sit week after week, and I am convicted as I speak. I'm preaching to myself here. A great sermon, or listen to any kind of podcast, read any kind of commentary. We have so much at our fingertips, and so many times we just sit on it and we grow fat and lazy. But there is a great commission. Some of Jesus' last words was, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Lady, that is for you and for me, to teach them, to show them who Christ is and what his teachings were. And he even reassures them and says, "I'm going to be with you every step of the way." Ladies, how about our world, where we are, with our families, with our children, when we go to the market, when we get our hair done, when we go to the gym, well, if they ever open the gyms, but all of those things that we go, oh, that's our world. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "You must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready." Is Christ the Lord of your life? Oh, if he is, we need to tell it. And we need to be ready to tell anyone that we come in contact with. And Lord, I pray right now for us and for me that we have that boldness to do that as never before. When we're asked what's different about our lives, we answer them because we have the Holy Spirit. We don't have to worry about what to say because the Bible says the Holy Spirit will tell us what to say. We just are so infused with this Word of God, it spills out. The disciples took nothing with them but the Holy Spirit, but the Word and being with Jesus. And that's what we need too. When the disciples come back, Jesus tells them, "Let's get away. You need to rest." How precious that Mark put that in. Just that little side note. Jesus is saying, "Come away and be with me. Rest a while and renew your strength. You're going to need it for the journey." And no different for me, no different for you today. Every morning when I wake up, oh, do you hear Jesus calling you to be alone with him, to listen to him, to give him my concerns, and to rest in him? That's our Savior. Oh, ladies, Jesus is calling. Do you hear him? He wants to give you rest. Thank you for listening to me today, and I hope when you do your study, you will just pick out all of these great parts and apply it to your life. God bless you.